All right, open your Bible to page 549. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. If you travel, I hope you have safety. And if you're home, I well hope you have safety. And folks, let me just say this now. The election is over. We've lived through that. That shows the strength of America. But it is time, whatever party or if you're not in any party, we are Americans, and we need to pray for our country. And we need to pray for those who are in leadership and those who will be in leadership. And I know we say these kind of things, but I have said to my own heart, I need to be more consistent in my praying for my leaders, whether I agree or don't agree. I'm telling you what, folks, God is our leader. And we need to pray God's blessings and help for our country at this time. Well, I want to talk to you today about one of God's attributes that we think very little about, probably. You know, if we think about God's attributes, you know, we think about God's goodness and God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's omnipresence and omniscience and, you know, all these attributes of God. But I've been thinking about, because I make my little list, you know, every day in November, I jot down another thing I'm thankful for. And that's really an easy thing to do for about 10 days. But when you get over about where we are now, you have to start, you're really thinking, you're like, well, I can't name that again. I've already named that. It's a really good thing. I've encouraged you to do it. I hope maybe you will do it. If you've not ever tried that, just start now. You'll make you a little list. Maybe name two or three things a day to make you get to 10 or 15 in a hurry, and then you'll begin to think. But what I want to talk to you about today is I'm thankful for God's protection. Now, I doubt we think much about that. I'm sure we don't understand how much God has protected us. I've often thought, only in heaven will we know. But be that as it may, if you look with me on page 549, you'll be in Psalm 121. And I want to read this psalm. Actually, this was a song, S-O-N-G. This was a song that the Old Testament worshipers would sing as they would make their way three times a year up to Jerusalem on Mount Zion. You know, that's 2,582 feet above sea level. So if you've ever been to the Holy Land, here the Old Testament worshipers are. They're coming out of the desert. They're coming from all, moving up to Mount Zion. And as they would climb that mountain, no good roads at all, no good roads at all, and a very dangerous, a lot of bandits. I remember back years ago when we'd go from Jericho to Jerusalem, we went on the old Jericho road. And it was horrifying because the road was just right on a cliff all the way. And I just thought, if this road gives way, we'll go down into that canyon, really. And now they've closed the old Jericho road, but that's the old road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And as they would make their way up that very difficult way, they would sing what we know is Psalm 121. In many of our Bibles, it has a little inscription, a song of ascents. That's because they were ascending up to the mount. And they were finding their strength in God. And this song was how, this psalm is kind of the what they would sing. So look at these words. It says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. That's Mount Zion. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. That's one of my favorite verses, statements in the whole Bible. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, here's another one of my favorite verses. I love this thing. The Lord is thy keeper. Isn't that great? Do you agree with that? The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And then I love this. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. The idea, he will protect you. He will keep you from all evil. Now, they were singing that as they were journeying up to 2,582 feet, the very difficult road, bandits, all kind of bad things could happen to them. These Old Testament worshipers going to Jerusalem to the temple three times a year, singing this, said, "He shall preserve your soul." That is, he'll protect your soul. "The Lord shall preserve your going out, your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." That is a great, great psalm in the Word of God. Now, you know, as I thought about God's protection, you know, as you think about just the Bible record of God's protection, I thought, you know, God protected Joseph. Think back in the Old Testament. His brothers could have killed him, but they didn't. Why didn't they do it? We say, well, God protected him. He used one of the brothers to do that. Then I think of the children of God when they got to the Red Sea and the Pharaoh and his army coming from behind. God protected them. He opened the sea, and you know the story. And then I think it's a very interesting. I need to preach a sermon one Tuesday or talk about it. You know Balaam riding on the donkey that talked. You know, I was reading that story yesterday. That donkey could see the angel. Balaam couldn't see the angel. Well, God was protecting Balaam. And then I thought about David. It's David wrote this psalm we're looking today. We have a record of it. And he wasn't captured by Saul. You know, God protected him. So many ways Saul could have captured him, but he didn't. And then, of course, the angels. We have a record in the Bible in 2 Kings. The angels on one night killed 185,000 Assyrian troops. The best trained troops in the world at that day. One angel, one night, 185,000 dead. He protected the children of God. And then all Paul went through. Back in 1 Corinthians, we had time, I'd read that. He talks about all the hard things he went through. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you might want to read that later. But see, God, through all of that, was protecting old Paul and Silas in Philippian jail, Peter freed from prison by an angel. And then there's this verse in the Bible. Jimmy sang about angels. I love this verse. It says, it's in Psalm 34. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him." But that's not the end of that verse. The end of that verse says, "and delivers them." You need to memorize that verse. That's Psalm 34, verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encamps," now here's how the words go, all around those who fear him and delivers them. And so sometimes God protects us. I'm convinced we can't see the angels, but I believe there are angels. The Bible teaches that. There are no telling. They're innumerable, but we can't see them. But somehow, I mean, you read the Bible. Many of these times I mentioned, angels had something to do with it. But having said that, God's not limited in his protection for you and me by angels. He does it in many other different ways. And I think it would be a good thing. I think it'd be a healthy thing for you to think about the ways that God, even this year, or maybe before, the way God protected you, where back at the time you didn't see it, but then a little later on, or maybe years later, you look back on it and you say, you know what? It may be by an angel, maybe not. But what I didn't see was, I thought something was good. I thought it would be the good thing for me. And the door closed. It didn't work out. Or this one thing happened. I thought, oh my grief, what a bad thing. But the truth is, that thing was kind of way God protected you from something else. And I could name numerous things. But let me just, if I may, go back in my own, or our own, Dottie and I together. You know, one of the ways God protects us, he closes doors. He really does. We always want God to open doors, and we do. But sometimes God protects us by closing doors. I remember so well, and Dottie will remember this as well, that back in 1972, we were the assistant pastor of Travis Avenue Baptist Church in Fort Worth. And did we go to North City in 73 or 71? Three? Yeah, thank you. These things I can't remember. But be that as it may, we were at Travis Avenue, and we thought we were going to go from there and be pastor at Fielder Road Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. And that'd been quite we're 31 years old. Let me tell you why we didn't go. The pulpit committee had 16 people on it, and they had an agreement that one person had to all be in agreement. All 16 had to vote yes. Can you imagine getting 16 Baptists to all vote the same way? But anyway, well, 15 voted yes, one voted no, and we didn't get to go. And I was 31 years old, and I thought, boy, this would be the greatest thing in the world. And Dottie can well remember, I went into depression for several days, and she finally took me to El Phoenix, and I had a Mexican lunch, and I got over it. But anyway, but here's the deal. God protected us. You know, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was pastor at Westminster Chapel in London before Dr. Kendall. By the way, Dr. Kendall will preach here on January the 15th. You might want to circle that. And if you can come to one of those services, it'd be wonderful. Well, he followed Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the most brilliant men, he was a medical doctor that God called to be a pastor. And he pastored Westminster Chapel all those years. And he was like Dr. Kendall's mentor. He was his mentor. And one of his sayings, if you read any of his books, you'll run across this saying. It's a very good saying, and I quote it. The worst thing that can happen to a man is for him to succeed before he is ready. Now, I've seen that happen a lot. Now, to be honest, when I was 31 years old, I was nowhere near ready to go pastor Fielder Road Baptist Church. Now, I thought I was, but looking back, God just shut that door down. He just shut that door down. And he was protecting us because what we did, we went to Tennessee after that. And we were ready for that, and it just worked out in a wonderful way. Now, some years later, by the way, have you ever thought something was God's will and it didn't work out? I feel like I'm talking to myself here. Yeah. Have you ever thought something was God's will and it should have worked out? You say, I know that was God's will. I know it was. And it didn't work out. That's a discouraging thing. Well, I remember years later, and I don't mind mentioning these two churches, but I could tell a lot of situations, but we thought we were going to go be pastor at First Baptist Church, San Antonio. I was still young, and, that was just a... Well, I won't go into what happened to that. It was really a very fleshly thing that happened to that, but be that as it may. But years later, and that'd be another time for another sermon, I found out some things. And when I did, I'm trying to tell a story if it makes any sense without, I don't have time to tell the details, but when I found out some things some years later, I thought, God closed that door and protected me from what I would have experienced then. Now, no way am I speaking unkind of that church. This has been a long time ago. But that would have been the worst thing that could have ever happened to me and my family. But back when it happened, it just didn't seem like, I thought, I don't know. Well, years later, I just have said, in fact, I one time was in San Antonio, and nobody was in that worship center. One afternoon, and I got in the building and went down and got on my knees at the altar of that church. There's not another soul in that room, I don't think, during the week. And said, God, you protected me. Other people could do this job, but had I come here, it would have been a disaster. And I just want to say, God, thank you for protecting me. Now, but God didn't use an angel to do that. Now, Dottie is here. Boy, this is a part I could have really done. Do you need to go to the restroom or anything, John? Well, there have been other opportunities through these long years in denominational jobs, in directors of missions, and other churches. And let me say it this way. Like, It's not like an angel closed the door, but Dottie did. Does that make any sense? She, you know, God, you know, we'd pray together, and she had more sense in it than I did. And she'd say, look, you know, I just don't feel, you know, I mean, I can't tell you where to go and not to go. You'll have to do what God says, but I just don't see you in that. I don't see that as who you really are, you know. And I look back on all those things, and sometimes I'm saying, you know, we need to listen to those who love us most. Could I have an amen to that? And I say that especially to young adults. I say, look, your mom and your dad love you. I said that to a young adult here about 2 weeks ago. I said, what do your mom and dad think about this? Well, they're against it. Oh? I said, well, you know, your mom and dad probably love you better than anybody in the world. I'm not saying you're going to have to always do what your mom and dad say. They can be wrong, but I am saying this. You even though you're in your 20s, you need to at least consider the possibility that the two people who love you probably more than anybody in the world say what they say, feel like they feel for your good. Maybe. Maybe not. But consider that. Do y'all not think that's sound advice? I'm saying to you, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And we can't let other people make our decisions, but we need to put our antennas up when those who know us best and love us most, and I guarantee the person that knows me best and loves me most, other than God, is Dottie. And I pay great attention to most of what she says. Not everything, not everything, most. But I'm saying, I look back on all that and I say, you know, one time God used this person to protect me. God, you know, this happened to protect me. That happened to protect me. God used Dottie in ways to protect me. Well, you know, we'll never know till we get to heaven, I believe, how many bad things could have happened that God protected us from. Do you agree with that? Say amen. I believe that. How many things that could have happened. And maybe God used an angel, maybe God in some other supernatural way or some circumstance or whatever. Well, we don't know. But let me tell you what we do know. And this is where we'll land on this last time. We'll go back to that great Psalm 37, the Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, God is the most beautiful thing in all the scripture. The angel of the Lord encamps around all who fear him and delivers him. Here's what we know this. We have a loving God. Amen? He's a merciful God. He's just. He's forgiving. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He's the list is just, his attributes are endless. But on that list, we have a Heavenly Father who protects us, who loves us more even than our earthly parents ever knew how. And I want to encourage you on this last Tuesday, whatever is out there ahead of us, and whatever 2017 has for us, hey, I'll tell you what we have going for us, God. A loving God who's always going to protect us, even when we don't see it, even when we don't know it. He knows. And Father God, I thank you for that, to know that my loving Heavenly Father protects me. And God, I could give illustration after illustration where in my own family's case, which I would know most about, you have protected us from physical issues, from all kind of things. And we've seen some of it. I'm convinced, God, much we'll never know till heaven. But I thank you, God, and on my Thanksgiving list, I thank you that we have a God in heaven who protects us. Now, God, I thank you for the 2016 Tuesday Bible Lunch year. This is a great time on Tuesdays, God, and the people who come make it thus so. And God, in this room, probably at every table, there may be a broken heart. I just ask you, God, that during this Thanksgiving season and as we move into the Christmas month, that we will just be drawn closer to you, to know that you are sovereign, and to know that you love us and want the best for us. And God, in that, we just have peace. I pray for our country. I pray for our president. I pray for our president-elect. I pray you'll give him divine wisdom, God, to surround himself with people who can guide America in the right way. And God, I pray that somehow we will understand that when we go your way, things work well. But when we just deliberately violate and disobey what you teach in the Bible, we're headed for bad. God, give us wisdom, not only at the political level, but in our own lives, God, to live in your will. We thank you, we love you, and we look forward to being back here together in January. In Jesus' name, amen.